Welcome to another episode of Three Men and a War Game. I am Paul, and I play games sometimes.
Nice. I am Kevin, and I attend game conventions sometimes. Actually, upcoming this weekend, I'll be at Adepticon.
And this is Potter, and I thought we were not doing these intros anymore.
Me too, but that was an okay one. No pressure. We just followed Paul's lead.
No, we didn't say we weren't doing them. We said we weren't, like, planning them out.
Correct.
Oh, is that what it is?
Because otherwise, what else am I going to say? Hi, I'm Paul.
I don't know. You saved a bunch of car insurance by switching to Geico?
Well, see, that would have been a dumb intro.
Yeah, right, I'm gonna stop us from digressing right now. Let's do my job and pull us back on track.
Kevin doing his very essential job.
Yep. All right. So, Paul, what are we talking about tonight?
We're going to be talking about you, sir, and your amazing abilities at Flesh and Blood, because we're in danger of becoming a Flesh and Blood podcast.
No, that's not happening. But also, I'm not that good at the game.
He lies.
Yeah, I'm not really. Anyway, what have you guys been up to hobby-wise?
I actually went out the other day and I picked up Yoda and Chewbacca for my Legion, as well as another unit of Wookiees. And so I built my first unit of Wookiees. I built Yoda, both Yodas, because it's awesome. He comes with two different versions of himself in that kit, so that was amazing. And I built Chewie. And then I have been building Dynamis for my Gundam kits for the better part of the last, like, 3 weeks. I've just been taking my time with it. So that's what I've been building model-wise.
Nice.
I have plans to hobby. I can give you my plans, and we can see if I do any of it next week. I did get a German 88 for Chain of Command, because it's totally way too much gun for that size game, so I thought that would be fun to just blast Bob's Americans off the table. I've been building a Gundam when I've been sitting down and having time. So realistically though, I've been doing all kinds of stuff around the house. Sure. Trying to get shit fixed up, and especially now that it's nice out, trying to get the yard so this way I don't look like a suburban redneck. And yeah, so I've been super busy with that, but I have been, when I've been sitting down, I've been able to work on the Gundam that I'm building, nicknamed Feathers. I'm sure Potter or Chops can give you the actual name of him, because I don't know any of their names.
The Wing Gundam Zero, yes.
Yeah, Wing Zero.
Isn't that just the show? Gundam.
No, yes, but also the name of that specific Gundam. And it's not the only Gundam in that show.
Yes, there are several Gundams in that show.
Okay. Well, yes. Yeah, so there you go.
How
so,
in Gundam 00, there is in fact a 00 Gundam.
That is correct. Yes. That is the one that I would say that I know anything about at this point.
Yeah, but just like that, Gundam Wing has a Wing Gundam.
Yeah. I just didn't know that. Anyway, what have you been working on, Chops?
I've actually been painting. I've been painting some Minimoto models for Bushido, because Bushido is against the odds starting to turn around in the Madison area, and it looks like we're actually going to have a regular playgroup that is playing the game, talking about the game, excited about the game. So. Holy cats, guys. The game I've been talking about for like 3 years. We might finally do an episode on it. I might actually get some games in. Very, very excited about that.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
And I support this.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of traffic going on in the Bushido channel lately.
Yeah, yeah. We've been really excited about it locally. And, I mean, excited about it enough that I'm painting again. And I've taken a pretty long hiatus from picking up the paintbrush, so.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got something to inspire you to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Me too.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I feel with Bob and I are planning our next Chain of Command game in our campaign that's been held up for, you know, COVID, because we played the last game like days before everything went crazy in the world. So I'm feeling the urge to get back to painting some of those guys to be ready for that.
Well, yeah, let's also be fair. You know, we've also kind of monopolized some of your barn time with now having a giant group of people joining the barnstorming.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yeah. I mean, but that's allowed other games to be played. But I mean, even at that, just with the limits on time, Bob and I just have not been able to sit down and do that. But he's back to his old wily ways of planning out the table 2 months before we play, so this way we know what we're doing. It's again really cool that he does that and thinks so much about it, because he knows exactly like the road that we're fighting across last time. He knows exactly how that's going to be like leading us into town. So it's just crazy how he's like visualized it all.
Oh, yeah, he's got an amazing mind for storytelling and story based gaming. Like the ideas that he comes up with what he shared about like some of his old War Machine scenarios and stuff like that. Like he's definitely got an eye for storytelling. It's awesome.
What we need to do, and this is a side point, we need to get him to run a map campaign where he is the keeper of everybody on the map, and we tell him where we move to, and he tells us if we have an opponent to fight.
I'm on board with it.
So that might be something we can work out. Anyway, sorry.
But quick side thing that I just remembered before we move on. I did actually I didn't get to build them because they come pre-built, but I actually did get caught up on my Baratheons. And some models for my secret Basoifi army.
Oh boy, that's exciting. I'm excited to hear about you guys playing that more. I've also been, I haven't been mentioning it, but I have at least one box of everything that's come out for Greyjoy. I've been keeping up with that.
Yeah. I got the crossbowmen.
Nice.
I'm so behind on Crisis Protocol. Like when all the new Midnight Sun stuff came out, I got behind it. I haven't picked it up. I really need to go out and get all the new Doctor Strange and friends.
Our community is getting stronger. So excited.
Yeah, I got my Baratheon crossbowman. So, and then I got nice. I got a unit for my secret project army.
Very cool.
So somewhat tangential, I've caught up a little bit on the MCU. I watched Loki and Shang-Chi.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
That means you're basically caught up. I mean, Eternals, but I guess you can skip
Eternals and Eternals and Hawkeye.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes. Hawkeye. Eternals and Hawkeye. Because you've already seen Spider-Man. So yeah.
Yep. I already seen Spider-Man. So yeah, I think that's all we have left, and then we'll be ready for Doctor Strange.
Cool.
Yep. Sweet. Oh, Moon Knight next week.
Yep.
Is that next week already?
No shit. Next Wednesday.
Next week. Yep.
Mm-hmm. That means I gotta kill Hawkeye this weekend then. So
yep.
Okay. All right. So clearly we have not chatted in a while, and
yes.
should just have a whole episode of us catching up with each other,
chit chatting, and see if people actually want to listen to that.
Yeah. No shit. Right. I think that would be fun. Have it. We can all sit here and build Gundams and talk. Anyway, you've been playing a lot of Flesh and Blood.
A metric shitload, Paul. Like,
I was like, a lot is an understatement.
Yeah, for me, it's funny when I would be telling people, like, well, I'm primarily a miniatures gamer, but, you know, I picked up Flesh and Blood, and it's starting to feel disingenuous to say that.
Well, I mean, so here's the thing about that. I've known you long enough to know that you were an on hiatus card player.
It's true. It's real. Like, I'm not even going to pretend like that isn't true, Paul. That's like,
because you've also been
competitive card games is like my whole background.
That's your bread and butter, man.
Well, because you've also been participating in the fan remake, or not remake, but like revival of Netrunner, haven't you as well?
Oh yeah, I've been playing a crap load of Netrunner. Well, Nisei for the last 7 weeks too. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my card game is in full swing right now.
Yep. I mean, as soon as you got all like, as soon as your eyes lit up and you decided you were in love with Flesh and Blood, I was like, oh yeah, he's back. Yeah, Kevin is back, and he just jumped right back in the pool.
There's something about it. You know, I never thought I'd get back into another TCG. I mean, LCGs, I was always going to try every one of them because, like you said, I've always been a card gamer. So it's in me to try them. And I gave Flesh and Blood a chance because it looked like it was a thing that was up and coming, right? And now, yeah, it's definitely my main game. Like, to pretend otherwise would be completely disingenuous. I've played over 200 games now since last March. So a lot, just a ton.
Yeah.
I mean, those are rookie numbers. You got to pump them up there, buddy.
Yeah, I think at this point in time, I think it's just safe to say that you're just a gamer.
Yeah, that's fair. But let's the topic du jour, right? So
Yeah, so let's get into it. So you went out and played in a fairly large surprise Flesh and Blood tournament.
Yes. Yeah. The biggest tournament for any game I've ever played in, actually.
Really? How many people?
Just over 500 were entrants into the main event.
Which tournament?
Thank you, Potter. Let's back up. So Flesh and Blood has a multi-tiered professional circuit. So there's a casual side, it's called casual for casual rel. And then there's a professional rel league. And the casual leagues, there's like your in-store tournaments, like your armories. I played in an armory tournament last night, actually. So that's funny, too. I wasn't sick of Flesh and Blood after a weekend of Flesh and Blood. So I played more Flesh and Blood in my Flesh and Blood last night.
Need some Flesh and Blood for your Flesh and Blood?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But the this whole diatribe that I've been going on is to say that the bottom level professional event. So the first level of professional events in Flesh and Blood is called The Calling. The Calling is also the only open entrance professional event. Every other professional event is invitation only. So The Calling, the top eight players in The Calling get invited to the Pro Tour. So if you go to a calling, you are trying to place in the top eight so that you can get your invite to the bigger, like serious money. And that's not to say it's not serious money here. The winner of this tournament got $7,000.
Jesus.
But the bigger, there's like $1 million prize purse over the course of this upcoming professional season, like in terms of total available winnings. Jeez. So you can win a lot of money playing Flesh and Blood right now. So people go into
I can't have my wife listen to this because then she'll be like, why aren't you better at this?
I mean, I would, well, and we'll talk about how not that good at this game I am. But the fact of the matter is when a company says, do you want a chance at playing this game professionally? Come out to Indianapolis and answer the call. Many hundreds of people do, right? I would say there were over 1,000 Flesh and Blood players in attendance because they had they had lots of side events going on, and at these events they also, all of the side events, give out prize tickets for winning, and there's a prize ticket wall with exclusive playmats, exclusive uncut sheets, oversized cards, all kinds of stuff that you can win by playing in the side events. So the draw isn't just for the ultra competitive. It's just everybody who plays Flesh and Blood. You know, if you're in the area and you can make it, you should come to this event. And there was also a $25,000 Magic tournament. So I think all in all, yeah, the total attendance was over 2,000 for the number of people that were there.
So what was so nuts. I don't think we said this. What was the event? What was it?
So yeah, the event was called SCGCon. That was the name of it, or Star City Games Con, which is a big, huge online retailer of collectibles. And at SCGCon, they were holding two different things. They were holding a MTG 25K, so the Magic the Gathering 25K tournament, and The Calling for Flesh and Blood. And so the Calling consisted of the tournament, which was called The Calling, as well as a Battle Hardened tournament, which was also a tournament you could play in to win a Pro Tour invite, as well as on-demand drafts all day and many, many, many events that you could sign up for to win prize tickets. So basically, wow. It was just like a full weekend that, I mean, like 1,000 tables and just a full weekend of vendors selling cards, people buying boxes, cracking boxes, people playing games, just everywhere you look, it was people playing Flesh and Blood and Magic.
All right. So let me ask you this for comparison's sake. And I know that the game is nowhere near as big as Magic, but what was the player field for Magic?
So the thing that I think felt really good as a Flesh and Blood player is it was very hard to tell if there were more Magic players than Flesh and Blood players. It was the closest split I would be comfortable telling you is like 52% or 55% Magic players to 45% Flesh and Blood for total attendance.
That's still something good. Man. I mean, because Flesh and Blood's what?
Two, three years old? Yeah.
For a game that's that many years old to have that close of a split with Magic, that's strong. That's good.
Yeah. It's white hot, dude. And the other thing too is there were a bunch of ex-Magic pros are either playing Flesh and Blood or the commentators now for like the professional streams for Flesh and Blood. And you have to think, if you're going to be a commentator for the game, you have to know the game well enough.
Right.
And it's also, I watched some of the Twitch stream after I got home, and it's very clear that these guys who used to be Magic casters love this game. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
Serious stuff that there are I forget what they used to call it, like I sound dumb because I'm mumbling now, but the old Magic tours, the professional Magic GPs, there we go, Magic GP winners are now playing Flesh and Blood. So yeah, big deal.
No, I'm here for it.
That says a lot right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm here for that. Down with the man.
You gotta go with the
punk rock game.
But So other questions, guys. What kind of questions do you have for someone?
So I'm assuming this was obviously this was not Blitz format. This was
classic constructed.
Yeah, classic constructed format. So
yeah, and actually. Before you ask that, I know what you're going to ask. Before you ask, I just thought of something that's really cool. So we got there on Friday. The tournament was Friday. The convention was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We got there on Friday night, and they had this really awesome format called Shapeshifter. And so Shapeshifter is a format where you get six packs. So like it's a sealed format, except for it's two packs. It was our Shapeshifter was two packs of Everfest. Two packs of Tales of Aria and two packs of Monarch.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. I'm on board with that. That sounds fun.
So you open the packs and you can play any token hero, even if you don't pull them. Any token hero and any token weapon. The weapon doesn't have to match the hero. You can play any weapon with any hero. And you can put any cards you want in your deck out of the six. The only exception is that if you play a specialization card, it has to be for that hero.
Let me tell you,
it led to some busted shit. So I played Chain in the in the Shapeshifter, and I realized as I was building my decks, because Chain's ability just says you can create a Soul Shackle to give any Shadow or Runeblade card, action card, go again. And so Leviah's cards say Shadow Brute, and those are Shadow cards. So you can play Chain's ability to give go again to Leviah's cards.
Oh, God.
Gross.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was really fun. I ended up doing really well in that turn. I did 2-1. So I won the first two and then lost my third game just barely because everybody's deck was busted. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And it was just really fun to play. It's like one of those things where when everything is broken, nothing's broken, right? And so, right, like, mm-hmm, everybody was, like, surprising me, like, with a more busted thing than the last person. So it was really fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like that. That sounds really like a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Highly, highly recommended if you've ever played Flesh and Blood to look into Shapeshifter and trying a Shapeshifter sealed. So fun.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Bab, you hearing that?
Yeah, Bab. No, yeah. Let's do that.
Let's do some Shapeshifter. All right,
our local hype man.
So, yep. So Chris, your question to me was going to be, who did I play in the calling?
Yes, who did you play in the main cash tournament?
Yeah, so in the calling, which is funny. I didn't make the decision to play in the calling until the morning I woke up, because I was just going to play side events. But I woke up and I was like, nah, fuck it. I came all the way to Indianapolis. I'm playing in this tournament.
Yeah, you might as well. Of course.
Yeah. Well, it's $50, right? So it's like, you know, I could play in two or three side events for the same cost. But anyway, I decided to throw my hat in the ring for the calling, and I played Chain.
You're too good at this game for fucking side quests, man.
I don't know. I like playing in side events because there's less stress. And we'll talk. I want to talk about that a lot, too. Like, not so much like about how I did, which was, you know, just above middling, but mostly to talk about the experience of playing and the pressure of playing in such a big event. But anyway, to answer your question, I played Chain because I felt that if I was going to play in the tournament, I was going to play to win, right? I'm going to play to try. And my goal was to make it in the top half of the field. That was what I decided. It's like, if I pay the $50 and I'm in the top half of entrance, I'm going to be happy with my performance. And even though I love Leviah and Leviah is my main, it is a joke to play Leviah into a professional. I mean, unless I was very good. Like, I'm not saying that you can't play here and be successful, but I'm not a good enough player. And I can't read especially into some of the matchups that are current in this meta. I did not feel like I would be able to win a lot of games playing Leviah. So I played Chain because I'm a strong Chain player. I understand my Chain deck, and I felt more confident in my ability to win into this current meta with Chain. So right. I played Chain.
No, I mean, I think that's the right call. You play to your strengths. So, mm-hmm. I mean, and again, if you're going to go in there and you're going to play to win, I mean, and play for keeps, you're going to play what you think is going to play to win. You're going to win the tournament. So I think you made the right call.
Yeah. For me, it was Chain.
So I think that kind of leads me into a question that I've been dying to ask. And I mean, clearly you answered some of it in that you weren't necessarily planning on playing in the event, but what, even if it's just that morning, what did you do to get ready for it? You know, like, were you playing a deck that you've already played? What was your thought process as you got psyched up
and
to
so,
do this?
I mean, I had known we were going to go for like the last 3 months. 4 months, whenever they announced it, my buddy Howard and I were like, so we're driving down to do this, right? And Howard actually ended up being a level one judge in the competition, which is actually also really prestigious and really cool. Judges are highly needed, and it's a very demanding job. So it was really cool of him to do that. Anyway, so when we said we were going, it's always been in the back of my mind that I might play, right? And so I built a Chain deck based on sort of what the current thinking that the Shadow Runeblade could do. And I played, I know it's starting from like January or so. I probably played a dozen games with Chain, iterating on the deck to make it more comfortable for my play style. So like, it's like, you know, my 80 cards isn't necessarily like a meta deck. It's the deck that plays best to my understanding of how to play Chain. And I iterated it over probably 30 to 40 games between when we decided we were going to go to actually being there. And so I think that's sort of the prep, right? And then the morning that I decided, it was just like taking a big breath and being like, you came all the way here, just play. And if you scrub out and you go 0-3, then just play the side events like you planned, right? And that was kind of the mentality that I had going into it. I was confident playing the deck. I knew going into it that to win the calling, you had to play 16 rounds over 2 days. So I wanted to play the game that I wanted to play the deck that I knew like the back of my hand, right? Like the one that I can look at a hand and instantly evaluate the best play lines. And that's just the chain deck. So those were the things that I was thinking about and how I got ready.
So I don't know TCGs at all. And I've never obviously done a tournament or anything like that. Are you locked into one deck or can you change things throughout the process of the tournament?
So every card game is different. But for most you register a deck list and that's what, how Fab works. So with Fab, you have a sheet and you fill out the 80 cards that are in your list and your list can be randomly checked by a judge at any time and not adhering to your deck list is automatic disqualification. And I think disqualification from future tournaments, it's a very harsh penalty. Yep. So you submit your 80 and you don't falter from it. Now, the nice thing, as you guys do know about Flesh and Blood, is that a classic constructed deck is 60 cards. Right. And so my chain deck had 7 pieces of equipment and 73 cards. And of those 73, I took between 60 and 65 into each game, depending on the hero I was facing.
Right.
Wow. Okay.
Very cool. So how'd you do?
So it was really cool. I don't want to do an in-depth play-by-play, especially so because we don't want to be a Flesh and Blood podcast. So, you know, I don't want to get too much into strategy. But generally, I started very poorly. My first game, I was all nerves. Like, my hands wouldn't stop shaking the whole game, and I couldn't get out of my own head, and I lost.
Mom spaghetti and all that?
Yeah, that. Exactly. Except I did puke, right? Yeah, it was everywhere. mental puke all over the place. I almost won the first game. A couple key things didn't go my way. So the second game, I was frustrated with myself. And the first two turns, I made abysmal decisions. Like, amateur, I've never played chain and I don't understand this deck at all style mistakes, like rookie mistakes. And my opponent recognized it. And even though I played turn 3 forward flawlessly, I just couldn't catch up from the deficit that I dug myself 0-2. And so at this point, I'm just like, fuck it. The worst that can happen now is I lose one more game and I go out and I, you know, make some trades with people out on the floor and play some side events or whatever. But that doesn't happen. I win the next series in a row and go one game from making it to day 2, which is you have to only have 2 losses. So anybody who is what the expression is X and 2. So any number of wins, right? And in this case, it's 5-2. And so I went all the way up to the last possible match. And honestly, that particular game that I lost was the one that kicked me out of the tournament, basically, was the best game of Flesh and Blood that I've maybe ever played against a Prism player. It was my chain into his Prism. And it was the most cerebral and excellent game of Flesh and Blood I've ever played. Most of my chain games, as an example, you get 55 minutes on the clock. Most of the games I played with chain at the calling, I was done with between 18 and 25 minutes on the clock. That game went to 2 minutes left on the clock.
Ooh. Wow.
It was deliberately played, cerebral. Both of us were way into it. And also both of us were really jovial about it and, you know, like smiling and laughing and just being him being like, ooh, good play, good line. You know, like, so the whole experience was great. And even though I lost that game, it was really fun watching him go into day 2 and like finding him and like giving him, you know, giving him daps as he would win. Because he ended up winning the first 2 games the next day too. And I was, you know, because he beat me. So I'm like, man, if you're going to beat me, I'm going to root for you for tomorrow. Hell to see you go up higher.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So it was really cool to run into him later, especially given the game he played. So I ended up in just outside of the top 200, but in the top 250. So
that's awesome.
Goal met, right? I think I was 214th, which was better, which is what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in the top half of the field, and I cleared that goal. So at my first calling, I just did as well as I wanted to. And I think I could have done better if I had been more relaxed to start with, but it's really hard to like explain or even prepare yourself for the pressure of playing in an event that big. Cause like the, you know, you sit down and there are, you know, hundreds of other games going on to your left and right. Like it's just tables like to the walls in a convention hall. Do you know what I mean? Like this isn't like a small, like think of a hotel ballroom and magnify that by, or blow that up by eight.
I completely understand what you're talking about. When I played GW games and Games Day was still a thing, I went to the Baltimore. I went to the Baltimore's Games Day and played in their big tournament for it. I brought my it was a 2,500 point tournament. I brought my Black Templars into it, and I went 2-1. And so I know exactly what you're talking about. Like I. Like with that many tables of people playing the giant hall, there's like people screaming and wawing in the background and you're trying to concentrate.
Yeah.
It's crazy. No, I get exactly 100% what you're talking about.
And also just the pressure of being in your own head and like you sit down and you're like, this is round one of 16 and I have to win all but two of my games today, right? Like it's so much pressure and you don't realize how much that pressure is going to weigh on you. And I think until you sit down.
Yep. No, I get you. Cause like I felt that going into my third game. Cause I was like, I have to win this game to go on to round four to be in to the top playing field to for the tournament. And I ended up losing only because it was a night fight game and I had like nothing to do night fight stuff. And the guy was an all crewed Tau army, which, you know, they see in the dark. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah. So I played really, really well with my back against the wall. I didn't realize that was going to happen either. Like that thing that it was like a switch flipped and, I just went into like kill mode and I would like dude rounds. And the thing is it's Swiss pairing, right? So when I'm 0-2, I'm playing another person who's 0-2. So, but I like snapped back and killed my next two opponents, just like dominating. So it was really, helpful though to have that experience to like basically like go all the way against the wall and then ride that pressure right back up. So that was really cool. It was a good experience. And I'm actually excited to play more Flesh and Blood. Like I said, I played another tournament last night. So it was, it's very, very cool. And I had a great time.
So now after playing it, do you still agree with your decision to bring Chain, or do you think you should have brought someone else?
Oh no, I would have got hosed if I played anyone, any hero other than Chain. I maybe wish I had practiced more, and specifically more into a couple of the matchups that I didn't practice enough against. I didn't practice enough against Viscerai, and my game two was against the Viscerai, and that was the one where I like critically misplayed the first couple turns.
Right.
But, you know, and I didn't play enough into star the Bravo star of the show, the current meta nightmare. So, it, you know, it's just a matter of maybe playing a couple more games beforehand and also not being so fucking nervous for game one and two.
Yeah.
So do you think, again, this is more on the tournament side of it more than anything Flesh and Blood related, but do you think now that you've done a calling that you'll be more relaxed going into your next one? Or do you just think that there's just going to be a nervousness to it in general?
I think there will be a nervousness going into it in general, but the thing is that the callings are always preceded by a series of tournaments leading into them. And we had a couple of them here. They were called Pro Quests. And I think if I had played in a couple of those Pro Quests, which were 40 to 64 player events, I would have probably done better. And I think going into another calling, I would try to enter more of those like mid-level tournaments, just to like have more of the competitive pressure, you know, because the normal Monday tournaments, it's like 18 people that I like last night we had 18 people there. And like half of those guys I'm like good friends with. So, you know, it's like it's all laughs and there's no stakes. No one really cares if somebody wins and there was somebody who was looking for the prize that week. Generally, they'll trade it to the person who really wanted it. So there's not a lot of pressure in an event like that. So I think going into the next one, I would try to play more higher stakes events leading into the multi-hundred entrant tournament.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. I like that. What else was I going to ask you? I don't know. Chris, what else you got for him?
So, I don't know. I'm trying to think. So what'd you do the rest of the tournament? So obviously, you know, day two, you know, day one, you said you did some of the
shapeshifter.
The shapeshifter. Day two, obviously you're doing the calling. What was day three?
Day three was fun. So day three, I showed up and there was a vendor that had airshipped a bunch of boxes, like huge amount of boxes, like too many boxes. And I think they probably didn't sell quite as many as they expected to. So they started selling like buy one, get one free boxes of Flesh and Blood. Oh, shit. So, wow. I bought a case.
Yeah. I mean, why not at that point, right? Duh.
Yeah. Half price case seems good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which so did you get Everfest or did you go with one of the older ones? Okay.
Yeah. I bought a case of Everfest first ed. Yeah.
Next time hit me up because that's a good deal.
Yeah. Sorry. It was like one of those things where like I saw it and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I text Ella, I think I'm going to buy one, get one deal of Flesh and Blood. She was like, do it. You're not going to get a chance like that again. So
yeah. Hell yeah. Right.
So I did that. And then, I played in a Magic the Gathering Neon Dynasty on demand draft. That was fun. Just cause they were $20 and they had on demand drafts going all day. So I did that. I ended up only playing two of the three rounds, but that was cool.
So on demand draft, is that just kind of like you get enough people signed up, you go?
Yeah, exactly. Thing, you put your money in, they sit you down at a table, and as soon as there's eight people sitting down, you start cracking packs.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That sounds like fun.
Yep. And that was Flesh and Blood had those too. They had Tales of Aria on demand the whole weekend, but I've done a ton of Tales of Aria drafts and I just didn't want more Tales of Aria cards. So I was like, yeah, whatever. Plus they were more expensive for whatever reason. The Flesh and Blood drafts were like $10 more.
So it was probably a nice mental break too.
Yeah, exactly. So I played two rounds. I did the draft and I played the first two rounds that on demand. That was fun. And then I met up with one of our locals, Alex, and Alex and I went and sat down and he was like mentally exhausted too because he had played in the calling the previous day. And then he had just won one of those side events and the side event that he played in was called a Daily Double. And that was the one where all the prize tickets are doubled. And he was trying to win 900 tickets because that was double first place. And he did. And he was just like, oh, I need a break. Like, I've just been like turned so high. You know what I mean? It's like, just need to play some casual games. So we just played Blitz. And I don't know for how long. I don't remember when we sat down, but I played Blitz with Alex and we talked and bullshitted until Howard's judge shift was over. And he came over and told us he was done. And basically, you know, while we're playing, we're also paying attention to how people are doing in the calling because you can all hear it over the loudspeakers. And like our friends, we had a couple people that made it into day two. And we had a couple friends that also played in the Battle Hardened tournament, which was the big tournament on day three. And one of our friends went 5-1 in that tournament. And so like coming over. Yeah. Yeah. He was coming over and we were like super congratulating him every time he'd come over. And yeah, cause he was just doing super well. And it was crazy cause he opened the weekend. So in his total events played for Friday and Saturday, he was 0-13. Like he hadn't won a single game all weekend. And then he started the Battle Hardened. Yeah, he started the Battle Hardened and went 5-1. He was like they cut to the top eight and he was like 16th.
Oh man.
I know. And it was like 290 people playing in that tournament.
Whew. And that's one that's invite only?
No, that one was another open entrance. Like basically what it is they do it like this on purpose, right? They have the calling, and the calling cuts to the second day, and it's everybody who only had two losses cuts to the next day. And then the battle hardened.
Okay, I got you.
Everybody, every daddy who didn't make day two can still play in a big, big stakes, high stakes tournament for like gold foil legendary cards as the like prizes, like big deal prize cards and exclusive playmats. The top eight players in that tournament got exclusive battle hardened playmats. So there was, you know, there was reason to play in the battle hardened if you scrubbed out of the calling. But yeah, he went 5-1 in that. And that was like, it was super exciting to like ride that wave with him.
That's awesome.
So that's what I did. I played a bunch of casual games with my buddy Alex. We played, basically we played his Kasai blitz deck into my Reinar blitz deck. Like, I don't know, 3 or 4, 5, 6 times. I don't even remember anymore. and then we played a CC Levia, I played my Leviah. He played his Bolton, and that was another fun game. But yeah, just a lot of flesh and blood, casual flesh and blood the second day.
Very cool.
Yeah. Cool. So that was my calling event.
Sounds like you had a ton of fun.
Yeah, it was a really great day. Really great.
So,
go ahead, Paul.
I was going to say, so if you had, say, a friend who was going to go to one of these for the first time, what would you recommend they do?
Boy, I think it depends on what they're into doing, right? Like, if you wanted to go and play in the calling, like you wanted to go and you wanted to play in the main event, what I would say is that you should play the deck you're gonna play a lot and play it into everything that's for the that's popular in the meta. And the only way to do that is to be invested in the game, right? So that like going into this calling, you'd know that the three decks you had to play in the most would be Bravo Star of the Show, Prism, and Viscerai, because those are the three that the most of the super competitive players are playing.
Mm-hmm.
So play into those matchups a lot. And also, get out of your own head. Like, just remember that, like, you can only play as well as you can play, right? And as long as you go into every game, being very intentional, I guess that's my other advice, is that play slow. 55 minutes is a lot of time to play a normal game of Flesh and Blood and Classic Constructed. And so you don't want to like rush through your games and do something like forget to tick up your Findall spring tunic, right? Like you want to remember your tunic trigger every turn. You want to play, if you're playing chain, like I was, for example, you want to play your cards in the correct order. Like, cause the order in which chain plays his cards is very important. And that's how I lost that second game, is that I sequenced my cards badly. So just remember those kinds of things, like play slowly and play intentionally. Practice the deck that you're taking, play it until you're sick of playing it. And also just remember like that you're supposed to be having fun too, right? It's like you play the game because you love the game. So just remember to be having fun while you're playing. That would be my advice if you're going to go play competitively. Otherwise, I think what you should do is you should walk in, pick something on the prize wall you want, and then just enter in many side events as you can until you win that prize on the prize wall. Because I would have had just as much fun. I would have had just as much doing that over the weekend.
Yeah, that was gonna be my question of like someone that's like just coming just to have a good time. Like, what should they do?
They actually had a package. It was $150, and it was called the Unlimited Go Again package. yeah, pretty fun, right? And it was unlimited entry into the side events.
Oh, that's cool.
So you could just play in every side event that you had that, you know, was available while you were free. So you could just pick and play in all of them.
That's not bad at all.
Not bad at all. Yep.
So with Adepticon next week, you mentioned you're going to that. How much Flesh and Blood are you playing there?
I hope not a lot. So I'm going to be running. There's a person from the from between here in Milwaukee from me. And I'm going to be meeting up with him, and he's going to want to play some Flesh and Blood. Maybe one game. I hope only one game, because I really want to spend. I don't like playing Flesh and Blood, right? If someone wants to shuffle up and wrangle cards, I'm down. But I'm only going to go for Saturday. And since I'm only going to go for Saturday, I really want to spend some time at the Slow Death Games booth with Chris. I really want to hang out with Shay, a loyal listener, friend of the show, and friend at this point, right? And so I want to hang out with Shay. Plus, I've got some friends that are also coming from the area. And I really want to demo both Rivenstone, which is a new game that's coming out from, is it Anvil Games, Sledgehammer Games, Broken Anvil Games. God, I was close. Developed at least in part by Will Hungerford.
Yep.
Okay.
So
those models look amazing, by the way. Yeah, people check them out.
The Rivenstone stuff looks great. So I want to try that.
Gorgeous.
But also Ash Barker released a new game this week called Steel Rift, which is a 6mm mech combat game played on a 3x3 table.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. So I want to play a little Steel Rift while I'm there. It has some neat mechanics, Paul. Like, one of the things that it does is, so I think you're going to like this. When you're playing this game, if you're the active player, when you shoot, because you're in mechs, right? You're in mechs in the future. It is assumed everything you're firing hits. Like the game assumes you are on target when you start pulling the trigger.
Because you got super futuristic targeting programs.
Exactly. The game assumes it. And so all the rolls are defensive.
That's cool. Huh. I like that.
That makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, and also it has a thing where if your model hasn't activated, you can reactive fire as long as the model that you're reactive firing at is in your front arc. So you can give up your activation. And on a normal activation, you get two actions, but you can give up your two actions to return fire.
Which makes sense, because if you can see them, it might work out better.
You can shoot them. Yep. And again, it's the same rules where it is assumed when you return fire, your return fire is on target.
Yeah, I can't imagine any other games that are like that that I really love.
is that what the Chain of Command does?
No, I'm just thinking about the return fire, right?
Infinity, right.
Arrows. Yeah. Arrows. Not the auto hits. No. Oh my gosh. If you auto hit and Chain of Command. Oh. Yeah. Anyway, it's like the opposite. It's a bitch to hit people because they're in cover and it makes sense. They want to live.
And, you know, really bad machine guns and, you know, weapons at the time.
And I'm sure those cover rules that weren't being, that I wasn't seeing in the little demo. I just watched the play. The like let's play on YouTube, and the thing that I got from that let's play was that like when you're shooting open to open, it's just you roll a number of defense dice equal to the bullets coming in.
That's crazy.
I like that idea.
Well, it sounds like we're gonna have a lot to cover next week when you come back.
Yeah.
And then maybe this is getting too far in the weeds for the discussion for tonight, but. Is it like just a rule set, or is he producing models too?
Oh, Death Ray Designs is making the models, and there's a full model
range. Oh, shit.
Yep.
Well, then.
Oh.
Well, then. I like the Death Ray Designs
guys. Yeah, we know a few of the Death Ray Design guys, and we like those guys.
Yeah, they're good people. All right, I'm on board. I don't care what you say. I'm on board. It's going to be awesome, Chops. Don't tell me otherwise.
Yeah, so that's Steel Rift. I mean, it looked like a ton of fun. It looked like the kind of like fast paced, like just light enough to be sort of like really fun, but also like chunky enough that you don't feel like you're doing nothing. So it's chunky enough that it makes it like your decisions are meaningful, right?
Right.
So it seems like a good time. And I think Shay wants to show me Bot Wars, which is like a Transformer style game.
Oh, very cool.
So, yeah. So those are the things I'm planning for this upcoming weekend.
And don't forget to potentially walk away with your $100 box of Martells.
Oh, dude, wait. If there's even a chance that those are there, I didn't realize that was even a possibility. I didn't even think about it.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past CMON. They've already started showing the box art, so.
It's true. I know for sure they'll have the new Starks and Lannisters. I guess those have been at retail for like a month already.
But yeah,
I'm
those
sure
have been out already. There. Yeah, I was very tempted to pick up the Starks box the other day.
God, I'm so out of touch. Well, yes, you are. Had no idea.
We need to make a trip out to Durham and get you caught up.
Yeah, it's time to get you caught back up.
Well, I need freaking Targaryen cards. That's how far behind I am.
Get those too. So that was it. That was my weekend at the Calling. A lot of Flesh and Blood games played over the weekend. You know, like I think somewhere close to 30 probably total over the weekend. Jeez. Between, you know, like just playing casually, playing competitively. And then counting last night too, right? Because I played 4 games last night.
So I don't think we ever asked, how'd you do at the event last night?
Oh, cleaned house, buddy. Undefeated.
Nice.
first to play, so.
Yeah. You were riding that high energy, weren't you?
Yeah. Also, I was piloting. I was also piloting the deck that I'm planning on playing into. So we just finished the Classic Constructed season. So Flesh and Blood competitive play goes in seasons. And the season we just ended was all Classic Constructed. And we're moving into the Skirmish season, which is all Blitz events this year. And so I played the Blitz deck that I plan on taking to many of the upcoming Skirmish events, which are that mid-level, like 24 to 40 player events. Mm-hmm. And I played the deck that I built to play that format. And I am very happy with it. It did very well.
Clearly, it did you very well.
It was funny. People at the event were like, it turns out you weren't just a Levia player. You're just a Brute player because I'm playing Reinar.
Nice.
My Blitz deck is a beat your face in Reinar deck.
Yeah, you and I might need to be talking because Reinar is one that I'm wanting to try out and build.
Here's a fun thing for you, Chris. I put this deck into FabDB, and then I did an export to TCG Player because I was curious. Because, you know, like a really competitive Flesh and Blood deck for Classic Constructed, like if you're building like, I don't know, Prism or Bravo, you can spend like $800 to over $1,000 on a deck, right? Like,
right.
That's not unknown. This Reinar deck that I went 4-0 yesterday, if you bought all of the singles, like if you didn't have any of the cards and you bought it, it's $168.70.
Yeah. So, yeah. And I'm pretty sure that I probably have at least
a good portion of it already.
A good portion. Because yeah. I've already bought a few Reinar singles already.
Yeah. The most expensive piece is the Scabskin Leathers, which is his legendary legs, and those are like 61. So
I had a local guy here that was willing to sell them to me because he had extras. Re-talk to that gentleman and see if he still has them.
Yeah, and I think all of the Majestics and Legendaries add up to like $158. So like that, I mean, it's not an expensive deck in relative terms. Like there is a single card, if you want to play Bravo Star of the Show, there is a single card you need that's more expensive than this entire deck. So that's pretty good.
Crazy. And this is why I never play TCGs.
Yeah, it's the dark side. The dark side of TCGs is that they are expensive. But
cool.
You know, you do what you love, right? And you spend like none of these hobbies are cheap, right? Miniatures, you know, how much money worth of paint do you have at your desk?
So it's embarrassing. I don't want to answer that.
The dirty little secret of miniatures gaming, right, is how much we spend on hobby tools. But like in relative terms though, I feel really good about having a competitive level deck that's less than $200, because I think that's otherwise unheard of in most TCGs, even unless you're playing like Popper, right?
Right.
So yeah.
All right.
Popper is a Magic the Gathering format where you play only commons.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's kind of cool. Yeah, I don't think I have any other questions for you. Potter, you got anything else for him?
No, I think this was a good conversation.
Pretty fun, just in tournament prep in general, right? Like the get out of your own head practice.
Right. Have
and,
fun.
And be cool. Have fun. Yeah. Good luck. Have fun. That's the tournament mindset. And I think if you go in with that mindset, you won't be disappointed.
That's a good way of looking at it. That's a good way of looking at it. All right. I mean, that kind of sounds like your last thought, Chops, but do you have any other last thoughts?
No, good luck. Have fun. That's a good one.
All right. Potter, final thoughts?
No, I mean, sounds like you had an awesome time. Sounds fun.
Hell yeah. All right. And my final thought is, Chops, please help me build a Frost Guardian deck.
Can do.
Sweet. Thank you. All right. Well, thanks for being with us through yet another long gap, which sucks, but, I think that's behind us. And so thanks to everybody for supporting us through our craziness. And thanks to Static as a City for the music. Thanks to our patrons. And thanks to these two schmuckos for still talking to me all the time about games.
Yeah.
Yup. No doubt, buddy.